ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation
effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Kehabare namahite haya papakshaya, kehabare namahite jive ramukshaya. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is free from all the reactions of sinful life. Another say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Harita sakarina na mera itoi palanaya, na mera khali Krishna padhi prema ubhujaya. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from the material bondage or free from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anusandhika phalena mera mukti papa nasha tahara drishtantaye cha surya prakasha. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reaction of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. Ehi shlokera artha kare panditera gana sabha kahi tumi katha kaha artha vayu vivarana. He placed the verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas kare na echa subhira udaya udayana haite arambhita tamina ayakshaya. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night, even before the sunshine is visible. Chorapeta rakshasa diya bhaya haya nasha udaya haine dharma karma di prakasha. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of the night, such as disturbances by thieves, ghosts and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Echanama, echanama gayarambe papa dinakshaya udaya kaile krishna padhaya premodaya. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is free from all sinful reactions, and when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tuchh phala haya nama bhasa haite ye mukti bhaktana laye se Krishna chaye dite. A devotee never accepts mukti even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even by nama bhasa or a glimpse of the light of the holy name before its full light is perfectly visible. The Namabhas stage is between that of Namaparad or chanting of the holy names with offenses and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, Namabhas, the offenses have almost stopped and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is the perfection. Om Gyanat Virandhasya Gyanat Janashalakaya Chakshurumi Tanmena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Samyam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantrikam Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Lat Pankum Langayate Hirim Yatripatam Ambade Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasani Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this chapter is about the subterranean heavenly palace. And thus far you heard how the immense opulence and the luxuries of these planets are mentioned in the verses following up to the last verse. And it is described how it is Venuswarga, it is called Venuswarga. It is a swarga which is in the lower palace, but it is yet a swarga because of the immense opulence that is available to the people who live here. The inhabitants, they can thoroughly indulge in sense gratification. So there are upper planetary systems which are also Divya Swarga, and then there are middle planetary systems, and then there are lower planetary systems. So you see, it is mentioned, Shukadeva Goswami actually mentions to Parikshit Maharaj that these swargas are so opulent that they defeat the opulence of the swargas or the heavenly planets of Indra. So that is the kind of opulence that the people who live here enjoy. There is no old age, there is no disease, there is no such thing as getting tired. You know, so they don't have to go through any of these miseries, and yet there are immense opulences, and surroundings are so beautiful and very enlivening to the senses. And in the last verse, as was mentioned, so Bali Maharaj, he lives on the planet of Sutala. So he is on that planet, and Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And in the last verse, Sukadeva Goswami explained how Bali Maharaj completely surrendered to Vamanadev, and because of his surrender, the Lord was pleased with him, and the Lord gave him the Sutala planet. But Parikshit Maharaj also explains that when a devotee completely surrenders to the Supreme Lord, the actual result, the greatest benediction that the Supreme Lord can give is not the material benedictions or the material opulences, but the greatest benediction that the Lord can bestow upon this pure devotee is love of Godhead, pure devotional service. And therefore, this verse is in continuation with that verse. The real result of devotional service is awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. And then continuing in text 20, he says, if one who is embarrassed by hunger or falls down or stumbles, chants the holy names of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reaction of his past deeds. Karma is entangled in material activities, face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. So what Shukadeva Goswami is explaining here to Parikshit Maharaj is that the other things, the other opulences that a devotee may get, they are just side effects. They are just a positive side effects of devotional service. They are not to be aimed for, because a devotee can automatically achieve them. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, that bhakti and mukti are not the goal of spiritual life. They are something that can be bestowed by the Supreme Lord on his devotee if the Lord so desires. Like for example, here in this case, such immense opulence was given to Bali Maharaj. But another important aspect here is, it is mentioned that even though all these opulences were given to him, he was engaging in devotional service. It did not distract him from devotional service, right? So this is a sign of a pure devotee, that even though he may be given unlimited opulences by the Supreme Lord, he is never swayed or he is never distracted by those opulences. He is able to maintain his focus on his devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And then, so this conversation that is mentioned in this verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes a conversation from the Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, once upon a time, Haridas Thakur went to a village of Chandrapur. Now, this is a village where Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar would live. And as you know, their son Govardhan Majumdar and their son Harabhinath Das, who actually grew up to become Harabhinath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. And he And over there, the priest, the family priest of Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar, he was very fond of Haridas Thakur. He looked after him and he took great care of him. So Haridas Thakur was given a solitary cottage, a bhajankuti, where he would chant 300,000 names as he would chant. He would chant all day and live a very austere life. But he was kind enough to accept prasadam from Balaram Acharya, who is the guru of the priest of Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar. So in this way he was staying there. Now when he was living there, Raghunath Das was still a very young boy. And Raghunath Das, as we know, he was very detached from very early on in his life. He had no attraction for the material conditions of life and he was completely situated in spirituality. So he was obviously attracted towards Haridas Thakur. So he would go and visit Haridas Thakur when he was a young boy. And in this way, and Haridas Thakur would bless him, would bestow his mercy and blessings upon Raghunath Das. So in this way, he continued to live there. And in Balaram Acharya, and at the house of Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar, now they were the tax collectors for the district, for the king. They used to have assemblies in their home every day. Now in that assembly, there used to be great brahmanas, learned scholars and other devotees. And they would discuss the topics of the Supreme Lord. And now that Haridas Thakur had come and to live in their village, they would sing the glories of Haridas Thakur and how we would chant the holy names of the Lord. So then they once had this desire to have him over in this assembly. So then Balaram Acharya, who was serving Haridas Thakur, he requested Haridas Thakur to come to this assembly. And Haridas Thakur was kind enough to agree to this proposal. So Balaram Acharya takes him to their house, to the assembly of all the various scholars and all the brahmanas, and both the brothers, the Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, were very pleased to receive, and they paid their full obeisances to Haridas Thakur, and all the other Vaishnavas and learned brahmins there also paid their utmost respects to Haridas Thakur. So when Haridas Thakur was seated comfortably, then they all started singing his glories, started glorifying him, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So in this way, glorifying him, and then slowly they started glorifying the holy names and the potency of the holy name of the Lord. Now that brings us to this verse here from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada has quoted in this purport. Keha bali namahite haya papakshaya, keha bali namahite jiviya mukshaya. So that's why Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that some of the devotees there were saying that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, all your sins can be destroyed. And some said that by chanting the holy names of the Lord, you can attain liberation. But then Haridas Thakur says, Haridas Karina Namira Iye Dui Fala Naya Namira Fali Krishna Padi Prima Upajaya. So what does Haridas Thakur say? He says, these two are not the actual benedictions that are bestowed by the holy names of the Lord. He says the actual benediction is Krishna Padi Prima Upajaya. What is the actual benediction? That at the lotus feet of the Lord, you will be able to get pure love for the Supreme Lord. This is what Haridas Thakur says. And then Haridas Thakur gives a beautiful example. He says this just as the sun rises. You know, even before the sun rises, what happens? We just see a twilight, a strange light. But that strange light is enough to scare away the thieves and the rogues who might be loitering in the streets. They are enough to scare away the ghosts. So those kind of things will go away. And the sun is not even out yet. You cannot see the sun and you cannot see the sun rays, but yet it has had the effect. So that's what Srila Haridas Thakur says, that when you are chanting, but your chanting is not attentive chanting, or it is accidental chanting,
that you just chant the name of the Lord jokingly or out of, or even with aparadha, like if you're performing 10 offenses, or if you're chanting jokingly or inattentively, or somebody is not even doing it intentionally, it's unintentional, even then the Lord's name are so potent that they will actually give you these benedictions, that the sinful reactions will be reduced. And if one continues to do it, even liberation, moksha can be attained. So this is such is the potency of the holy names of the Lord. Since this way we understand that the Lord's name will automatically bestow benedictions, these kind of benedictions, mukti and bhukti, because the Lord's name is so powerful. These are just the good side effects of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Just for example, you know, when we go to work, a mundane example, when we go to work, like for the job, we get compensation, get a salary. But the boss or the manager of the organization, he also gives some bonus from time to time. He doesn't have to, but he may. So in this way, when the Lord's names are chanted, then we get freedom from sinful reactions and you don't need to make a separate endeavor. Like just as it's mentioned in Padma Puran, Namas Chinta Mani Krishna Chaitanya Svigraha Puma Shuddha Nitya Mukto Abhilatvam Nam Namine. So the holy names of the Lord are like a transcendental touchstone, for it is Krishna himself and who is the reservoir of all pleasures. So because the Lord is not different from his names, that is why these kind of potencies are bestowed upon him. Like for example, if a thirsty man calls out water, 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 will he be able to quench his thirst by just calling out? No, he will be thirsty. He has to take the water and he has to drink that water to be able to quench his thirst. However, it is mentioned that the Lord and his name are abhinnat from nam nam, that the Lord and his names are non-different. That's why when we chant the holy names of the Lord, then we can acquire the nature of the Lord. And what is the nature of the Lord? He is Satchidananda, right? He is eternal, knowledgeable and all blissful. So when we chant without offenses, we are also able to taste. As we progress as practicing devotees, then slowly, slowly we reach that stage when we can actually get some experience of it. Of course, the pure experience of chanting the holy names can be shared only by someone who's chanting purely and how he's experiencing the Lord's blissfulness and ananda. But they can be experienced even by someone who's at an early stage. So in the Harinam Chintamani, it is mentioned in quite detail that even those who do not chant attentively, like say for example, this is just Namahas, that they have just chanted the name. They have chanted it unintentionally. For example, Ajamil, as we know, the famous person of Ajamil, he was only calling his little son Narayan. Ajamil was 88 years old. He had only had 10 children, but he was very attached to his youngest boy and he had unintentionally named him Narayana, and then out of affection, he would always take his name, ask him to come and sit with him, ask him to eat with him. And in this process, he chanted the Lord's name so many times, like almost a whole day would be calling Narayana, Narayana, So in this way, he was chanting unintentionally. This is Namabhas. And then another aspect we do in Namabhas is inattentive. And we are all familiar with inattentive chanting because sometimes we are chanting while we are talking, and sometimes we are chanting when we are on the phone, and sometimes we are chanting when we are walking around and we are looking at things. So that is inattentive chanting, means we are calling the names of the Lord, but there is inattentiveness. We are not listening to what we are saying. And then jokingly, like some people, when they are not devotees, they might say, oh, can your Krishna fix this problem for me? So they're just joking like that. So even when they say something like this, it gives them a positive effect. They make progress in spiritual life by just saying it jokingly. And then denyingly, like in a negative way sometimes, like a lot of times they were not devotees of Krishna, they may say something in a disrespectful way. But they are still chanting the holy names of the Lord and they can get the benefit of that. Like sometimes Shishupal is considered in that category that he actually wasn't chanting the Lord's name with respect. In fact, he was in disrespect for what he attained liberation just because he was chanting the name of the Lord all the time because of his envy for the Lord. So in this way, even Namabhas can grant liberation and all auspiciousness on a person who is constantly chanting the names of the Lord inattentively, unknowingly. However, even this chanting should be free of offenses. Now, the 10 offenses Sri Prabhupada quotes them again and again in the pages of Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya, because these offenses are the biggest obstacle that we ever face in our progress. As long as these offenses are there, then the result of our chanting will be delayed. It becomes delayed because the offenses have been committed. And so this is when people chant like this. This is not intentional chanting. This is not with Shraddha, right? For example, Shishupal didn't have Shraddha for Krishna. He didn't have faith or love for Krishna. Similarly, Ajahn, when he was calling his son, he wasn't calling out of great faith for the Lord. He was only calling his son. But because he was offenseless, he wasn't committing any of the 10 offenses, he got such a great result that he was saved from the greatest of dangers. He would have had to suffer in hell for all his sinful activities, but because he chanted the names of the Lord so many times, he was saved from the greatest of dangers. Then what about chanting with faith, right? So they can be Namabhas, but someone may have faith. Like for example, when devotees chant, it is not accidental that they chant 16 rounds every day. You can't do it accidentally, so it is not unintentional, it is not accidental, or it is not joking. So we have this deeper, higher understanding that we must chant. We have faith in the Lord and in the holy names. That's why we pick up our Deepak and we chant 16 rounds every day. Now, this is called Namabhas, but it is with faith. So when it is with faith, then it can bestow more benedictions, right? It can completely absolve us of all our sins. And it can destroy all the effects of Kali Yuga, as mentioned. And then it can even grant us the goals of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. All the goals of human form of life that can also be attained. And it is said that it can even take us up to Vaikuntha. But it is possible if we are at the stage, we are chanting with faith, but there are no offenses. As long as there are offenses even at this stage, then the results are delayed. And that's why this stage continues. But it is mentioned that someone who is not even chanting with faith, with accumulation of his Namabhas without faith, he can actually come to a stage of developing faith, and then he can chant with faith. So the biggest stumbling block for devotees is the offenses that they commit. And why do we commit offenses? The cause of all the offenses is the anarthas in our hearts, right? We don't have a pure heart, right? So there is lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, delusion. So we have six enemies within that are constantly hammering us, that are constantly pushing us backwards. We make progress, but because of the anarthas, we end up committing offenses. Because of pride, we may say something annoying to another devotee, or because of greed, when we may do something unpleasant to somebody else. So in this way, it's very subtle, but it may happen, and then when it happens, then it pushes us back. And then, but an endeavoring devotee continues to make an effort to move forward. So, how this is explained, that how this is the clearing stage. Now, it's called the clearing stage, Shraddha Namabhas. Clearing stage happens when, you know, when a devotee strives to chant purely. So, you know, the sincerity of a devotee and how they actually reach that stage is that a devotee, you can see that they are at least striving to chant purely. And they are regular in their practice, regular in, you know, getting up at the same time every day, chanting their rounds first thing in the morning. And they try to consciously avoid offenses. Also, And in this way, the anarthas can be cleared. Not only the anarthas, it's mentioned that even all the offenses can be nullified if we continue our sadhana or practice in spite of our anarthas. And then in this way, the devotee becomes steady. So it's also mentioned how the mist of ignorance also covers us. So sometimes this stage of anartha nivritti, it takes many, many years, and sometimes it may even take many, many lifetimes. And how does that happen? That's because if we don't make a conscious effort to get out of this ignorance, or if we have the anarthas and we are not making a conscious effort to overcome them, then we can stay stuck on the stage. And also, ignorance of what? We need to understand the nature of the holy name. We need to understand the material nature around us and their mutual relationship. How does the holy name work? How is the relationship between the Lord and the holy names and the material nature and the jiva? So this is just mentioned, this is sambandha jnana. You know, the information of the about the these elements. They are called sambandha jnana. So then when one takes shelter of the spiritual master, then the spiritual master can actually guide us into adopting proper practice. And that is called, and when one is able to do that, it's called abhideya, the process. So once you find out the process, then we are steadily situated and then we can make significant progress in the path of bhakti. However, it is mentioned that some stay stuck on this stage and some can even end up becoming serious offenders. So how does that work? It is mentioned that somebody who is deliberately holding some misconceptions and doesn't want to understand the Supreme Lord and does not want to understand the nature of the holy name, then such a person will always remain in misconceptions and he may end up committing a lot of offenses. And also some may chant with a different goal. You see, because the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, ye yathamam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajame mam vartmanam vartante purusha patra sarvatha, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Some actually worship the Lord or they chant the holy names to get material benedictions. And in that case, they will not attain pure love of Godhead. They will not be able to chant purely as well because that is not their goal. What is the goal? The goal is to attain, like some, for example, some Mayavadis, they want to attain liberation. So if the goal is liberation, if the goal is not bhakti, then the Lord will give them liberation. As all surrender unto me, with the intention that you surrender to the Lord, with the desire that you have in the heart. You see, because the holy names of the Lord are desired, they will fulfill your desires. So whatever desire you have, you attain that. So you can attain Brahma mythologies. But devotees do not want that goal. They always, they consider it the greatest misfortune to be able to merge into the Brahma mythologies. Also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioned in Madhuri Kadambini, he says, what are the two yardsticks? Or how do we measure, you know, the efforts or the progress that we are making? Because sometimes we may get a feeling that we have stagnated or we are just not making any progress, or sometimes we even feel that we are going downwards and backwards. So he says, there are two yardsticks. He says the measure is the intensity effort. How much effort is a practicing devotee making to hear attentively, to chant attentively, to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, to preach, right? So all these instructions, when they are given by the spiritual master, they are to help us progress. And if we are following these instructions, so the first, he says, yardstick is intensity in the effort. How much effort are we making to make progress in spiritual life and to chant attentively? That matters a lot. The other one is the ease of chanting. You see, for someone who's at least come to a steady stage, when they rise in the morning, when they sit down to chant, they will be able to chant attentively, and if not, if the mind is wandering off, they will be able to bring their mind back. That is, at least you are trying to make an effort to bring the mind back, which means you are at least attentive where your mind is going. Now, sometimes when devotees chant, when we chant, the whole 16 rounds are gone and you don't even know where your mind is, mind was, and we don't even try to bring it back. What does that mean? It's completely spaced out. We are not attentive and we are not reflective. So that is, in other words, that is the aspect, ease of chanting. Are we easily able to bring the mind back? Or are we so spaced out that we are not even trying to bring the mind back? So that he says is another level. So if you are having difficulty, if you are having difficulty to bring your mind back while you are chanting, it's not easy, then there is some problem. Then there are some offenses that are holding you back. But so that is why it is said that then what are the causes? It is mentioned different stages of anartha nivritti, and different causes are laziness, sleep or inertia. It is mentioned that you are just too casual. Yes, you are chanting, but are you chanting attentively? Are you making an effort to do it? That is not possible. Distraction. So the more focused we are, the less distracted we will become by the activities happening in our surroundings. But the less focused we are, the more easily we will become distracted. And then indifference, which means we are not even, indifference is not opposite of like utsahan, like you know, mentioned utsahan nishyabhaya, with enthusiasm, with determination, and with patience. We do the same thing again and again and again. That also requires a lot of patience. Not giving up, yet having the enthusiasm, that is opposite of indifference. And then attraction towards sense gratification. Right? This is the 10th offense as well. To maintain real attachments in spite of being given so many instructions in this matter, right? So sometimes when the sense gratification and material attraction are very strong, it is very difficult to chant the holy names of the Lord. So in this way, so many instructions are given by acharyas in different books on how to chant attentively. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions here, the bhakti and mukti are only side effects. There is a much better and higher goal that we can attain by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So how to get over these anarthas, and how to make this anartha nivritti stage, how to cross beyond it faster? So, you know, it is mentioned that we can't just do it if we are not making a conscious effort to get rid of these anarthas. You know, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Amanya Mana Denam, Kitanaya Sadahari, in Shishashtam, he says, by giving all respects to others and by not expecting any respect for yourself, you know, and more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, in that state of consciousness, we can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So more humble than a blade of grass. More humble. What does grass do? When we walk on the grass, step on the grass, it nicely bends. It doesn't retaliate, it doesn't poke us in our feet. It just bends. And when we take the next step, it just comes back up again. So no problem, you step on it, it is flexible, it will bend. And when you move down, it just comes back up again. And then you take the next step. And hundreds of people walk on the grass, but never has it complained, right? So that is the level of humility, more humble than a blade of grass, yeah, and more tolerant than a tree, right? So look at the tree, how tolerant the tree is, that somebody comes and picks up all the fruits of the tree. Even the fruits that belong to the tree, somebody else comes and picks them, right? It is the same thing as saying we have worked hard the whole month and somebody comes and takes our salary. How will we feel, right? So we think, at least this is honestly earned money, this is mine. This, at least leave this with me, this is my claim, claim it, right? But even the tree even lets go, that go away. It's not attached, right? So the fruits are gone and somebody may come and take the leaves of the tree, right? Somebody else may come and take the wood, the branches to make fuel. But the tree doesn't complain, right? So the tree never complains. That's a more tolerant than a tree. Like, others may come and take things from you, others may do things to you, but you never complain. And he says, when you reach this stage, in that stage of consciousness, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Now, if you think of it, it's actually a very, very high stage. It's an advanced stage which, you know, rarely attained, but of course devotees have attained it. And if we see, these qualities are very important. And anarthas are actually the root cause of all our problems. Because of the anarthas, because of our attachment to the material world, we remain entangled and we commit offenses. And as long as we commit offenses, then the result of chanting is not fully manifest to us. The holy name cannot bestow their full mercy onto us. So these are mentioned again and again. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 12, he has mentioned qualities that endear Krishna. Advishta sarva bhutana maitrika dhvane vacha advishta. No envy, free of envy for other living entities. Right? So this is one of the qualities that he has mentioned that are very dear to me. Become non-envious. And the whole reason why we are in this material world is because we were envious of Krishna. So we ended up having a separate area of control. We wanted a separate area of enjoyment from him, and that's why we ended up in this material world. And then in chapter 13 also, there are elements of knowledge. There he again mentions Abhanitram Adhambetram Ahimsak Shanti Arjavam Acharya Upasanam Swachyam Sthairyam Atmavini Brahma. So in this way, then Amanitram, if you see this one quality comes again and again, humility, right? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amanitram Adhambetram. Then again in chapter 13 Krishna repeats, Amanitram Adhambetram. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence. So these qualities need to be consciously cultivated. Yes, the holy name, it says Chaito Garpana Varsham, it has a potency to purify us, but we also have to make a conscious effort to cultivate them, right? Discipline, regularity, cleanliness, non-violence, humility, we need to cultivate. Even if you don't have it, like Chaito Garpana says, fake it till you make it. If you do not have humility, at least try to be humble. If you are not naturally humble, slowly and slowly humility will come. And Krishna doesn't stop there. In chapter 15, you know, he also discusses how to cut the, he says, asanga shastrena dridena chitvan. We have to cut the, with the weapon of detachment and of determination. Cut all our material attachments. And then in 15 again, he says, nirmana mohajit sanga dosha. Nirman. Again, Amanina Manadena Kitanya. Amanin from Adhambetram, and again 15 Nirman. So this, the biggest problem it appears that we have is the false ego, prestige, right? Which keeps us away from humility. And then in 16 he clearly says, Dhammadharpa Vimanascha, these qualities belong to the demoniac. He clearly says that you have these qualities, yes, you have demoniac tendencies in you. So in this way, Krishna has also mentioned so many places that we need to consciously come out of these qualities. We need to eradicate these vices in our heart. And you know, as this famous example that Srila Prabhupada gives us of a marriage party which was trying to cross over. So all this, the group of men and family got together. They got into a boat. It was early hours in the morning. It was really dark. And they all got into the boat, and the boatman started rowing for them. Now they had to cross this river and go on to the other side. But it was really dark, so they couldn't really see where they were going. But anyway, the boatman kept rowing, and the boatman knows where he was taking them. So they were waiting to get to the other side. Now as the sun rose, as they could see light, they realized that they were still on this end. They hadn't even moved an inch. And why was that? Because the ropes were still tied. They did not open the ropes from the anchor, so it was still tied. So if you don't tie, so similarly, Prabhupada says that if we don't consciously try to come over these anarthas in our heart, and yes, we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, right? So every morning also, that's how you say, Bahujan kare yadi shavan kirtanam tabunatana payakshan kare kirtanam. Why will we not get? Because we are committing the offenses. Offenses to other devotees, nama parad, seva parad, vaishnava parad. You know, so when we keep committing these offenses, then we will be pushed back again and again. So then that is why these offenses have to be consciously worked on. These anarthas in the heart have to be consciously worked on, and also of course depend on the mercy of the Lord. We try our best and then we wait for the Lord to be merciful upon us. Because eventually He is the one. He says, I will clear all these dirty things in your heart. But we have to at least give Him the opportunity to do it. So, in this way, the holy name of the Lord can give us the highest benedictions. So then, for devotee, the bhakti and mukti that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, they are insignificant. A devotee doesn't worry much about these things, and he focuses on the real goal of his devotional life. I will stop here and see if there are any questions, comments or corrections. Yes.
The other thing is,
how serious we are in the spiritual life. So you see, like sometimes, you must have seen some devotees take it so quickly. They come to chanting 16 rounds within a few months. The others take many, many years to come to 16 rounds. So it is, that is, what is holding them back? It is their own determination that they don't have, that takes longer, some take longer, it depends on how much faith you have, how much confidence you have, right? How much endeavor an individual is willing to make to move forward. And it is not that we, even in the stage of Nama Bhava, it's not that we don't experience the Lord, we experience peacefulness, we experience we have developed a lot of detachment from a lot of objects of sense gratification. You know, like so many things that we tend to give up, and we have a natural attraction for the Lord's kingdom, for doing services to the Lord. So that is actually an indication of how we are making progress. But to be able to come to Shuddhana, like, you know, this requires a lot of sincere effort. And, you know, like King Kanchanaganga, he just chanted one moment, and that's it. He became a pure devotee. So it depends on our individual's effort. It doesn't depend on anything, of course, on the mercy of the Lord. Sometimes we may be making effort and we may be sincere and we have reached it, but the Lord will not bestow His mercy upon us. He will make us wait. He wants us to be patient. Maybe He wants to give us more deeper realizations. Right? So it depends on our sincere efforts, and it also depends on the Lord's mercy. So sometimes the Lord wants to deepen our relationships, deepen our realizations, because in the case of Narad Muni, how he was already at a very advanced level when his mother had died, and he was just traveling through villages and cities, and he was just chanting the holy names of the Lord, and he saw the Lord. But the Lord came and the Lord disappeared. And in the next life he became Narad Muni, because the Lord wanted him to make further progress. The Lord wanted him to deepen his relationship. So sometimes the Lord might also keep us waiting. It's up to him. It's, you know, because he knows what's best for us. And sometimes he may give. But yes, Shuddhana, I was hearing in a lecture, it was mentioned, Prabhu, that Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur Maharaj gave initiation to some devotees. He gave Harinam. And they started chanting. And they started, and in those days, everybody chanting used to be 64 rounds at least. So they started chanting 64 rounds. And within a week's time, they started experiencing ecstatic symptoms. You know, so just imagine the purity of those devotees, that it only took them a week to come to a stage where they're actually getting a few glimpses of, you know, the feeling of Shuddhana. But so it is an individual effort. Of course, those were the days when people were simple-hearted. You know, so crookedness is mentioned as one of the anathas in the heart. We're crooked. We are not straightforward, and that really keeps us back in the material world. So, yeah. So yes, from Nama Bhava to Shuddhana, it is an individual's own journey. How they will travel depends on how much they have become detached from the material and how much they have become attached to the spirit. Everybody's individual journey. And like I said, focus on consciously removing the anarthas and focus on having a regulated practice, and then leave it to Krishna, because at the end of the day we are dependent on, we do our best, and yet we still have to depend on the Lord for His mercy. From my limited ability, that's all I can share, and you know better. Thank you, Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.